right. 48 days to go until the November 6th election. 48 days for the 47% and the 53% to get ready to vote. John Gregg is the Democratic candidate for governor, and he joins me live. John, welcome.
Thank you, Amos. Great to be here today.
Great to have you. This is the time of year when people really are start. The conventions are over. Debates are coming. People really are starting to focus in on the election. For those people who maybe now are dialing in, tell the listeners, who is John Gregg? Why is he running for governor?
Absolutely. Thank you, Amos. And people are starting to pay a lot more attention now with each passing day. I'm John Gregg. I'm the guy with two first names running for governor. I have worked for two Fortune 500 companies. I'm from southwestern Indiana in a little town called Sanborn. As I mentioned, I worked for two Fortune 500 companies. One of them, I worked full-time, went to law school at night, earned a law degree by going to school part-time over the age of 30. I served in the state legislature the last 6 years. I was Speaker of the House. I'm very proud that during that entire time, bipartisan cooperation ruled. Collaboration, cooperation were the buzzwords, and they should be again. Mm-hmm. We acted like Washington, Indiana, not Washington, D.C. And I've also been president of Vincennes University. I was the interim president in 2003. 2004. I am the only candidate, and the other two guys are good guys, but I am the only candidate running for governor who has balanced the state's budget, who has improved funding for education, who has actually abolished taxes. We did away with the inventory tax, which was dreaded by retailers and farmers, and the only person who has done so in a bipartisan fashion. And I think that's something to be proud of, and I don't have to talk about promising results. I've delivered results.
The issue in this campaign, when this campaign started out, both from you and Mike Pence and the Libertarian candidate Rupert Boneham, all three of you were talking about jobs, were talking about how to keep Indiana's economy moving. We're hearing Ohio has a lower unemployment rate now than Indiana, and maybe that's because all those auto workers that a certain guy from Massachusetts was trying to get rid of, they're all back to work. Some of the other Midwestern states are now starting to grow. Our unemployment rate has kind of been stagnant all year. But all three of you were talking about jobs. Now it seems that two of you are still talking about jobs, Mr. Boneham and yourself, and your opponent is going to talk about other stuff that doesn't help create a paycheck.
Well, you know, that's true. I'm not surprised. First of all, he didn't do anything to help Indiana's automotive industry. If you can imagine Indianapolis, Kokomo, and the rest of the state without the automotive industry when he voted against loans to the automotive industry. But I've said all along, and there's nothing wrong with this, but I have said all along that I'm about jobs. Look beyond party labels. Look at what Congressman Pence has done for 12 years in Congress, and it's only deal with social issues. Mm-hmm. That's not wrong. That's just what he has done and what he believes. And now we see he's coming out with a program about wanting an impact statement on every rule and regulation as to how it impacts families and how it impacts marriages in the state of Indiana. And I think it's got some people rightfully concerned.
Is it because by having a family impact statement that it would prevent one of the biggest things I hear from listeners on this show are grandparents who are taking care of their grandchildren as the primary caregivers, but they don't have legal standing a lot of times as the legal guardian. It's kind of like an ad hoc thing. The fear that under Governor Mike Pence at the state bureaucracy could push grandparents to the side because they're not the married couple. They're not the couple that fathered those children. Or it could put single people, wanting to be, adoptive parents. It could throw them under the bus. I didn't see anything in keeping families together about, curing the ills of the child support system in this state, rewarding and lifting up the responsible, not just the responsible moms, but the responsible dads. Is it that he's not really talking about, if you're going to be family friendly, shouldn't it relate to what families are today in Indiana, which is not as much as we all would like every family to be like the Obamas or every family like the Romneys, all families are not like that anymore.
You know, they're not, and there needs to be a realization. And I have this discussion with my 80-plus-year-old mother that, you know, America is not the same America it was in the 50s with most of the women staying at home and there being a mom and dad. You know, our families have changed, and we need to realize that. You know, I think it's a pretty slippery slope for the state to now all of a sudden, I mean, is the state going to be a matchmaker? Is the state going to set different criteria for people to get married or divorced? I mean, if there's something, let me tell you, Amos, the bottom line is it's still jobs. You talk to a single mother in Indianapolis, Ligonier, LaPorte, or Lawrenceburg, you know what that single mother wants? She doesn't want a man. She wants a job. Mm-hmm. That's what this election's about. It's jobs. But this is showing what Congressman Pence has always been about, and there's nothing wrong with it. I just disagree. The state needs to be working with private business, universities, creating an environment where our economy can thrive.
How would Governor Gregg bring jobs back to not just Sanborn, not just Muncie, not just Kokomo, but to the older neighborhoods of Indianapolis?
Absolutely. You know, we have got such opportunities in Indiana. And as I've mentioned before, the same problems a small town like mine and a decaying neighborhood in the central part of a big urban area like Indianapolis, they are so similar. No sidewalks. The streetlights are out. The stop signs are gone. It's a food desert. Just goes on and on, the similarities. We've got opportunities, Amos, in this state in agriculture, advanced manufacturing, in life sciences, logistics, and energy. And let me tell you, we can have urban farms. Mm-hmm. We can have urban farming all over this state. We've got energy opportunities all over this state. We need to be concentrating on high-skilled, high-wage jobs, not dealing with social policy. If you want a governor that sees everything on ideology, left or right, I'm not your guy. If you see someone that wants to bring people together, sees ideas only as good or bad, I'm your guy, because it is about jobs.
So you want to be governor of the 47% and the 53%?
I want to be governor of all Hoosiers. I was speaker of all 100 members and their constituencies. I brought people together again. I'm the only one that's delivered those results. I did the same thing when I ran Vincennes University. We need to be more inclusive.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos, so we can have as many people as possible talk to the candidates for governor. Keep your questions short and to the point. Let me start with Anonymous. Hi there.
Hi. I'm glad you said inclusive, because I watch the commercials that you have on TV.
Yep.
And I'm wondering, are there any black people in your world?
There are none,
as cute as they can be.
You know, there are none in my hometown. And let me tell you, I live in a town of 350 people, and these commercials are to let people know who I am and my background. And, you know, it would be wrong for me to have showing in my hometown
people that aren't there.
Yeah, a lot of people that are not there. Now, there are some in the immediate area, but, you know, Amos has heard me talk before. I mean, I live in a town of 350 people, and there is not in the town proper a lot of diversity in the area. There's more than there was. That's just a fact. That's just a fact of the way it is where I'm from. But that does not mean
that you aren't able to relate
to other
types of people.
It doesn't one bit at all. I mean, and it hasn't. I mean, like I said, I've been the president of Vincennes University, where we had all kinds of programs to increase the number of minorities, ethnic groups, nation of origins, and the same thing from working for two corporate 500 or Fortune 500 companies. But for me to portray a town where I was born and raised as something it's not would be misleading, and I don't want that.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. I got an email, and it's a very unusual email, and it kind of follows up on the last caller. She says that she's a mom to three brilliant children, got a high school sophomore with a 4.0, seventh grader with an A average, and a kindergartner reading at the second grade level. She goes to work every day, but her state salary classifies her as the working poor. She She's active in her church. She instills hardworking values in her children. She believes education is the key to our future world leaders. She's voted in every election since she turned 18. She often votes Democrat, but I have voted Republican as well. We share some of the same values, right? We are a black family. We do not live in a small town. No one in your TV ads looks like the people we attend church with, nor some of the people active in the PTA I belong to. In fact, most people I socialize with can't relate to anyone in your TV ads. Why? Jill Long Thompson ran the same type of campaign, afraid to talk to me in public with her statewide TV ads, and she lost the race. How do I know you care about my family? I want badly to vote for you, Mr. Gregg, but I do not have to.
No, and she definitely doesn't. Well, first of all, Amos, as you know, I've been on this show Lord knows how many times over the last 22 months. I have been all over the state. I think the answer I gave the last time is the answer that's the truth. But I think a person needs to look at my record when I was in the legislature. Look at my record when I was president of Vincennes University. Look at our policies. Our policies talk about creating jobs in urban areas, in rural areas, all over Indiana. I think you have to realize that. I think I hope that this woman understands that education is a key. And I'm the first person in my family to go to college. I'm the first person in my family to have graduated also from college. I'm very, very proud of that. But I think they have to look beyond. The ads are to introduce me at this point. They're introducing me. I'd hope she'd log on to our webpage and look at what some of the proposals that Senator Simpson and I have. We're the only team that's talking about early childhood development. We support Pell Grants. I'm running against the person who has voted against Pell Grants. We have talked about the challenges of single parents and how we need to have a child care credit like almost every state in the union does, but we do not. We need to do more to be inclusive. That was my style when I was speaker. I've got a record of it. I'm not the one talking about a divisive social agenda. It's my opponent. And I would challenge this lady to look at the record because there is a clear distinction.
Let me go to Jeff at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, how you doing, Amos?
Fine.
How you doing, Mr. Gregg?
Hey, Jeff. Good to talk to you today.
Oh, it was good to talk to you. First of all, I appreciate your answer. I can understand what the young ladies are talking about, about your community, and I think it would have been disingenuous if you would have people flown in from Columbus, Ohio, or Chicago, Illinois, had them in your commercial. But I do enjoy your commercials. I think they're kind of down to earth, kind of folksy, and real show real people. The 47%, and I want to get your take on, I don't want to get off the subject here, but I think it's very important. About Mr. Romney's comments in that exclusive dinner he was at where he had wealthy donors. And, he was attacking people like your mom, Mr. Gregg, and people like those gentlemen you talk about playing cards at one of your friends' house. He's talking about those folks. And I want to hear what you got to say about what Mr. Romney said and, how does it affect Sanborn, Indiana?
It does affect Sanborn, Indiana. It affects Indianapolis, Indiana. It affects Ravenswood. It affects Broad Ripple, Rocky Ripple, Meridian Kessler. I think that the problem that I see in Indiana right now is the bad economy. But we are a divided state and a divided people. And that's because there are some issues we're not ever going to see eye to eye on. But, Jeff, there are so many ideas, and I feel so passionate about it, that we agree on. Better schools, our kids being college-ready or career-ready when they graduate. We need to be more inclusive. If we're going to do education reform, let's have some parents sitting at that table. Let's have a principal. Let's have one of those great teachers. If we're going to do local government reform, let's include some local government people. If we're going to make Indiana work and improve our economy, let's make sure that we've got all kinds of people represented and sitting at the table. When I travel the state, Indianapolis knows what's going on in the state capitol, but we've got four corners of the state that feel left out. And that's as governor, I want everybody, regardless of whether they watch Indianapolis television or Louisville, Cincinnati, Chicago, or Evansville, I want them to feel that they're a part of Indiana. And that's something as governor that I've had a record of doing is being inclusive, bringing people together. And if we stay focused on jobs, we can continue this state moving and we can move it forward.
All right. Back to appreciate it, Jeff. Back to the phones in. Robert, hi there.
Hello. Yes, my question for Mr. Gray is, the money that Mick Sanders made, will you have some type of an accounting? And can you tell us how it can be used for the state and for us constituents and residents of this state? I'll take my answer off there.
All right. All this money they found under mattresses and the audit was in there and, you know, money in one ear and out the other. First of all, if you're a governor, how do you make sure that the money that's supposed to be in the bank is in the bank and they don't lose money, A, and how can we spend it more efficiently?
Absolutely. That's the greatest challenge. You know, we have people saying there's a surplus. I don't know it. If you can move around a couple giant sofa cushions and find $500 million, we got problems. The first thing we have to do is find out how much money we really have. I'm not convinced we've got this ginormous surplus. The truth of the matter is, Amos, we've got one pension fund, a public employees pension fund for teachers, that has over $1.5 billion that's unfunded. Right. So that almost wipes out $2 billion. We've got another fund. We have over $1.5 billion owned to Uncle Sam on unemployment compensation that is paid. Actually, the state owes it, but it's paid back by the small employers. And that's a problem. So I'm not sure that we've really got this surplus. I can tell you that the surplus didn't come from a growing economy. It came from cutting $200 million for the protection of our children with the Department of Children's Services. It came from $900 million being cut from our state universities and our public schools K through 12. That surplus isn't there because we've got a great booming economy in Indiana. In fact, we have dropped from 36th to 42nd in per capita income. And we need to be concentrating just not on jobs, Amos, but on good-paying jobs, high-skilled, high-pay.
239-1310, 239-1310. This afternoon's name is John Gregg. He's the Democratic candidate for governor. When we come back, more of your calls. Also, we'll ask him about education. What are we going to do about that? Not just K through 12, not just higher education, but preschool as well. Speaking of preschool, tomorrow we will have data from the annual Census American Community Survey. We will tell you how African Americans in Indianapolis are doing in terms of employment and unemployment. Are we going above 21% black unemployment, or will we go below 20%? Is poverty in the African American community, is that going to go up or down? Educational attainment, others, income, other stuff like that. Plus, the Census Bureau tomorrow nationally is going to unveil for the 25 largest cities in the country what percentage of three- and four-year-olds are in school. That means preschool. I've already seen the numbers, and it's not good for Indiana. Anyway, after news with Avis, after these. Back to the phones, and Larry with John Gregg, Democratic candidate for governor. Hi there.
Howdy, John.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Just fine. You know, I just want to thank you for running for governor, and I know you're going to win because the state of Indiana needs you, John.
Well, thank
you. They really need you, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you when I come over to the State House during the General Assembly. But people need to consider about Mike Pence. He have never had a job in his life. He's been on the dole for his whole career. So when we think about John Pence, we need to think about that and think about that he is really out of date. I mean, Indiana is Indiana. If you don't have a diversified hometown, you can't deny that. And I'm glad you came across with that point, John. But the state of Indiana needs you, and I'm so glad to see you running.
Wait a minute, Larry, are you saying that Mike Pence is part of the 47%?
Mike Pence has been on the dole. He never ever had a job. He's been in Washington sucking off our tax dollars. There have been nothing but an obstruction. He can't point to any legislation that he's passed. And I'm not going to talk about him so bad, but I've seen him in action before with his holy loafer and other things that he's do to go out and try to influence people. But John is a serious person, and he's going to be our next governor. So thanks for running, John.
All right.
Thank you, Larry.
Let me move on to Michael at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi. I want to echo John's comments. I am so glad that you're running for governor, and I think that you are absolutely the best candidate. I have a couple of questions and then one comment or a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
when you made your introduction to everyone listening today, one of the things that you pointed out was you didn't make promises on what you could do. You spoke exactly about what you did accomplish. If you compare the two, the choice is very clear. But if your campaign gets lost in the stuff that doesn't matter, then that point may be missed. And it reminds me, reminiscent of Bart Peterson when he last ran for mayor. Make sure what matters is what is emphasized. Your record, your accomplishment, your track record, you're proven. That should be the message that Hoosiers hear across the state more than anything else. My other two questions are this. Until America won't get back to work until there's changes made, if not elimination or repealing of NAFTA. We don't need to repeal Obamacare. We need to repeal NAFTA. And until NAFTA's repealed, until that or the loopholes are fixed, we're going to be looking at the same static unemployment numbers for the time to come, long after you've had two terms. We need leadership on repealing NAFTA so we can get America back to work. I'll listen to what you have to say.
All right. Appreciate that, John Gregg. NAFTA?
You know, I will tell you this. I have stated on more than one occasion all across our great state, and going back to 1980, when President Reagan took office, you start hearing people talking about we needed free and fair trade. And, you know, man, Amos, you and I are old enough to remember that, and it sounded great. Mm-hmm. I have seen free and fair trade be neither free nor fair and only ship our industrial might, our middle class, our manufacturing jobs overseas. And I can tell you that if I have the pleasure of serving as the governor of this great state, I will work with our congressional delegation, with our U.S. various agencies from the Department of Commerce, but also the President and Vice President of the United States, because the day of us shipping one more job overseas under this umbrella of free and fair trade has to stop. Because it's not free and it's not fair, and I think we've seen that. That's why one of the things we suggested that Indiana companies that have been the victim of these unfair trade practices, Senator Simpson and I said that we would have an office within the state that would help these small companies fight this battle so that they could actually try to see if they could get free and fair trade, because small business can't do it without some help.
Half of the state's budget, a little over half of the state's budget, goes to education.
Absolutely.
Under Governor John Gregg, what would you do? Because we've got colleges that are starting to price, our state universities are starting to price themselves and price our kids out of the market. There's questions as to whether, you know, people are getting the training they need for the jobs that, for what employers are looking for. And then we've got this whole K through 12, you know, what's the best way to evaluate teachers? What's the best way to make sure students are progressing?
Well, first of all, a tip of the hat to our current governor, Governor Daniels, and our former governor, the late Frank O'Bannon. They both, through the community college system and the expansion of the regionals and Vincennes University, have seen to it that college is accessible all over our state between public and even the privates. I think our challenge is to keep it affordable. On K through 12, students need to be either career ready or college ready. And we need to remind people that college, and I feel passionate about this, college doesn't necessarily mean a four-year degree. It can mean an associate's. It can mean a certification, and that taking advantage of those opportunities. But when we do K through 12 reform, we've got to quit scapegoating teachers. We've got to start having them be part of the solution rather than all of the blame. That's just wrong. So the war on public educators and public education stops. Still got to be accountable, but we got to have them having a seat at the table and their voice heard. Pre-kindergarten, early childhood development is the key. We're the only candidates, my running mate, the ever-talented State Senator Vi Simpson, and I have proposed an early childhood program. We want to do in at least 40 sites around the state pre-kindergarten program to see what it would cost us to implement it. I think this has to be a priority. You know, if you're low income right now, your kids can go to Head Start. But if you're middle class, you make too much for Head Start. So maybe your kids aren't getting any of that pre-childhood, that pre-kindergarten. So this is something that helps the middle class. We're long overdue. We're one of a handful of states that don't do it. And this needs to be a priority.
239-1310. Back to the phones in Anonymous. Hi there.
How you doing?
Fine.
I got two questions. Mm-hmm. What would you do with the lottery money different than what Daniel did, which I don't think nothing he did with all this money? And that's a constant because people are constant, you know.
Okay,
sure.
Using the money. What I mean is, what would you, you know, what would you do different?
All right, John Gregg.
The legislature, you know, really decides where that money goes to. Part of it, as I remember, goes to teachers, unfunded pension liabilities for teachers,
and police and fire.
Police and fire unfunded liabilities. And then I think what people need to realize, I think that lottery brings in and makes an enormous amount of money, Amos, makes about $165 million a year. But we are talking about a $28 billion budget. So it's less than, if you do the math, it's less than a tenth of a percent. A small amount in the overall scheme. I think what we need to do is find out how much money we've got and then prioritize. And I think it'd be education, infrastructure are the areas that I think that we'd want to be looking at to see how we could improve those areas.
Well, let me go to another question. She raises this. The way the lottery has worked on a bipartisan basis so far, the lottery reflects Indiana's values in that the lottery is always encouraging don't overplay, don't overspend, don't spend the rent money for the lottery, play responsibly. The appeals are within reason. They make sure that the messages aren't heard on programs where a preponderance of the listeners are children or persons under 18. Now the governor is proposing to have a private company manage the lottery under state control, and there are fears that that private company, under pressure to create revenue for the state, will be a lot more maybe Las Vegas or casino type, not the games, but not reflecting Indiana's values. You know, if you have concern of that, if you're elected governor, would you unprivatize the lottery?
I got to tell you, privatization is something that Democrats overwhelmingly oppose. Now, to say that you would never privatize something, I think, is too far. But we've seen what happened when we tried to privatize FSSA. It was broken, and it's gotten worse. And we've paid $50, $60, $70 million to get out of that mess. The toll road, whether you liked it being privatized or not, the money is gone. And we've got I-69 somewhere south of Bloomington, and it's not finished. We got U.S. 31 going from Indianapolis all the way up to South Bend. It's not finished. We've got all kinds of roads and street projects not finished. So we've got to realize we've got these challenges. You know, with the experience that I've seen with privatization, when I always hear people say we need to run things like a business, but then we turn around and privatize it, those two things are in conflict with one another. I'm not a fan of privatization, but I can tell you to say you'd never privatize something is probably too far. But I can tell you this, we don't need to be privatizing FSSA and DCS and some of these agencies that deal with families and children.
Speaking of families and children, when we started this, you talked about your opponent wanting a family impact statement. If you take him at his word, then he would support dismantling the Department of Children and Family Services, because by any objective standard of a family impact statement, they have failed Hoosier families. What would a Governor John Gregg do with DCS that didn't exist 8 years ago?
First thing we would do, and we will announce this the day after the election. This issue is about jobs, but I have made one promise, and it was the day after the election. There's going to be a list of people that includes law enforcement, that includes investigators, that includes current and former employees, prosecutors, people that have dealt with the current DCS and the old system, and figure out how we can make it better. We ought not be bragging about reverting money to the state's coffers when we have children that are being harmed, abused, and sometimes even worse. So we're going to get these people together. And I can tell you, Amos, I meet people every day from around the state of Indiana that says, we want to help you on this. We've got a big list.
Is this a big sin for this state?
It's an absolute sin. And, you know, I'm hoping you realize that I've used that word again. I mean, you judge a society how it treats their children. And it's a broken system. We can do better. We'll never stop every bit of abuse and death of a child, but I think we can do better. In fact, I know we can.
Let me go to Georgia, 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Brown?
We're fine.
All right. Mr. Gregg?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You got my vote. I got your bumper sticker. I need to know where I can find some of your yard signs.
Uh-oh.
Now, look, what I want to know, were you looking to something for, you know, I've been living here in the state of Indiana quite a while, and every time I leave here and go down home, which is down there in Georgia, I go through Louisville. You got all these highways, four or five lanes of highways. And I went home back here in July, down in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Construction's on I-65, widening the highways. You get down there in Nashville, nothing but the highway, three and four lanes. Get in Chattanooga. Chattanooga all the way into Atlanta, it got three, four, five lanes of highway. Now, here in the state of Indiana, right quick, you get traveling 65 up to Lebanon going to Chicago. You only got two lanes of highway. From here to Anderson, Indiana, two lanes of highway. I mean, it's really sad. And I paid out a lot of tax money here. But look, let me know where I can get some of your yard signs.
Can Georgia get a yard sign?
If you can get online, you can click for a yard sign, and it will be delivered to you here in Indianapolis in the metropolitan area, gregforgovernor.com.
That's the with the number four. Greg,
you got my vote.
Is
you
that Greg?
F-O-R.
Greg, F-O-R, governor.com.
Yeah, GREGG, FOR, governor.com.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go to Bill at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
Hey, Bill. Good afternoon.
I think some of these people want you to walk on water, too. Hey, when you look at NAFTA, even though that was a Republican idea, but the bill went through under a Democrat. And locally here is a tragedy dealing with the water and gas. That went through under a Democrat. Are you going to repeal some of your own people's stuff, the damage that they had done to the state? And I don't think you can do anything about NAFTA.
No,
I don't know why they even asked you that. That was that's global, and it's here to stay. Cheap labor is in style. It's here to stay, and people thinking them jobs are coming back, they're never coming back.
You know, I would have to tell you that the governor can't do anything about NAFTA per se, but the governor can use the bully pulpit of the office and talk about it. But there is something interesting. It's called reshoring, and there are a lot of jobs, manufacturing jobs, now coming back to America. And we've actually introduced a plan how we want to attract those jobs. They're coming back because of the cost of fuel, because of the cost of transportation, because of quality control, because of stability in governments and other places. So we're starting to see an opportunity for more items to come back and be manufactured in the United States. And we have offered tax credits to any company that wants to come to Indiana and move jobs back into the United States that are overseas. We will give them a tax credit comparable to the amount of tax that they pay to the state of Indiana per employee, and that employee would be their unemployment tax. Now, they still have to pay it because that fund's got to be solvent, but we would give them a credit back on that. So we're trying to attract some of those jobs. Again, it's called reshoring, and there's nothing more I'd like to see than some of these empty parking lots all around Indiana full of people going back to work. So we've got the opportunity, if we quit fussing and fighting over Girl Scouts and license plates and quit having all of this left and right argument and worry more about good and bad, we can do this.
239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon's name is John Gregg. Have you detected this surge among Democrats and independents since the Democratic National Convention here in Indiana, as you and your running mate have literally crisscrossed this state?
Absolutely, I have. And I'll tell you what else I have noticed since the primary, and it grows every day. I call them Luger Republicans. Mm-hmm. Now, these are these Republicans out here that they're not Tea Party people. They feel their party has been taken over and has left them. They want officials to work together, cooperate, collaborate. They're out there. They're all over the north side of Indianapolis and Hamilton and Boone County, and we reach out to them every day. And they're in other parts of the state. And we sense an awareness of them, of our candidacy. They realize that both Senator Simpson and I have a record of bipartisanship, and that's great. And you combine that with the enthusiasm of independents and our party after the convention, we're feeling that we're making progress every day. And there's still 7 weeks left to the election, and we're excited about it.
In every poll that has been released publicly in the last 2 to 3 months, including one the first part of this week that looks at the presidential race in Indiana, it's nowhere near a runaway for Governor Romney. Could this presidential race tighten up here in Indiana? And does that help not only John Gregg, but Joe Donnelly and efforts to maybe take back the House here in Indiana?
I think that the race has been tightening up from what I can tell from driving around the state of Indiana, and I'm all over the state. I think Senator Simpson would tell you the same thing. It definitely helps. It definitely helps us. Hoosiers are independent, but how it helps us is it helps get the base out, and that's number one. And number two, we can win, and we can win this race even if the president loses Indiana. But, you know, if the president gets beat really bad in Indiana, it makes it difficult. But I would say right now, this is helping both Joe Donnelly's campaign and our campaign, and we're excited about it. They're different races, you know, the president and the governor's race, but Hoosiers are a pretty independent bunch, and they want a moderate, and I think they know that I'm a moderate, and I tell people to meet me in the middle.
3 weeks from today, you, Mike Pence, Rupert Boneham will take the stage, one of the three statewide debates. You won't have to conflict with The Voice or The X Factor, any of that other kind of stuff. How critical is that for Hoosiers to see you?
I hope they see, because if they see me, they will see a person that understands state government. They will see a person who has delivered results, just not promised them. They will see a person that's not a career politician, that's had real life experience. You know, Amos, I'm not interested. There's a huge difference between Congressman Pence and I. I'm not interested in being called governor. I'm interested in doing the job of governor.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. More of your calls, emails, text messages with John Gregg, the Democratic candidate for governor. All that and more when we come back. Don't go away. Back to the phones and Lawrence at 239-1310. Hi there.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
Years ago, I graduated from IU. I worked for the State Employment Office in Marion, Indiana, covering Grant County. And at that time, in the middle 80s, CETA was going out, and we came in with JTPA, the Job Training Partnership Act, that was sponsored by Senator Quayle and Senator Kennedy. And what that actually did was, if you had someone who was looking for a job and an employer hired them for the first year, they received a federal tax credit for that particular business. After that, the state of Indiana kind of copied it, and the state of Indiana was given a state tax credit for anyone who would hire someone who's over 35, someone who was a veteran, or someone who had a felony against them. And I administered that for Grand County for a couple of years. And we hired so many people because of them two programs.
Right.
And before we just had the CETA program, which really didn't go anywhere, but the Federal Job Training Partnership Act.
I get that. Is there a question in here?
Yes, I was wondering, are you going to, I was asking your guest,
yeah,
would he consider instigating the Indiana part of the tax credit program?
All right. That's a great point. I appreciate that. I think he was talking because CETA is gone. A great program. And that was a bipartisan program because Dan Quayle was one of the authors, as I remember, of the Job Training Partnership Act. CETA was, I think, that goes
that
all the way back to the Nixon.
Yeah, that goes back to Nixon.
Don't tell Romney Nixon did something to help people. That was helping the 47%. But is there could look at something that provides state tax credits to provide, you know, those kind of job training incentives that CETA and JTPA used to do back in the day?
you know, I'd need to study exactly to see what they've done, because those were before, I know the CETA was before I was in office, and the JTPA, I think, may have been also.
Yeah, was starting and kind of fading out when you came in the 90s.
I think that was. But I do know, when he mentioned veterans, mm-hmm. I met with members of the American Legion today. In Indiana, statewide, 20 or nationwide, 20% of the veterans are unemployed. In Indiana, it's as high as 30%. One of the things that we want to do, and that I personally want to be involved with, as well as my running mate, State Senator Vi Simpson, is for us to, because we know employers are always wanting people with high skills and technology background, right. is to get these people that need these employees, get them with the people who are recently discharged from the service, because our servicemen and women today do have high skills, high technology backgrounds. It's to get them together, get a pool where we can marry these two groups up together, and we can try to do everything we can to cut down on this high unemployment rate with veterans. So our goal is to get people to work, and to the extent that we can help get business, universities, private groups, for-profits, not-for-profits, and everybody together and working together, Amos. You know, let's lay aside, leave our guns at the door. Right. Let's use an old cowboy expression. Leave our guns at the door and let's work together. We can do this, but we got to quit fussing and fighting, like I said, over Girl Scout cookies and social issues. And that's all my opponent has ever wanted to deal with, was social issues. I don't want to deal with it.
Let me go to Don at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
Fine.
Mr. Greg. Hey, Mr. Greg, I really want to appreciate, you know, I've been listening to you for the last 20 minutes, and you haven't dodged any question that's been posed to you by the audience or either Amos. Whereas when I hear Mr. Pence, a lot of times it seems like he's always fishing for answers. It would be a tragedy if this guy was elected, Mr. Pence, for our next governor. So I'm encouraged that, you know, we'll get you in the office, because I.E. Mayor Ballas, was something that happened that we reelected him. But again, I just like to commend you, and in your last statement about it's not that important for you to be the governor title, but you want to get things done. You seem like you're a man of solution and conviction, and I just want to congratulate you, and I'll be voting for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, I appreciate that. We appreciate that. If people want more information about your campaign, like to get a yard sign,
yep.
Get a bumper sticker.
Yep.
The only bumper sticker with a mustache on it.
Absolutely.
How do they get a hold of you?
GregForGovernor.com, G-R-E-G-G-F-O-R, governor.com, number one. They can also call our campaign. They can call the Marion County Democrat headquarters. We've got them, and we're excited. We've got yard signs. And, again, we'll even ultimately get them out and get them delivered and stuck in your yard if you'd like.
How important is it for African Americans who are listening to us now? They live in Hamilton County. They live in Hendricks County. They even live in Hancock County. There's even a few, God bless them, in Greenwood, Johnson County, Morgan County, that they need to get engaged to.
Absolutely. And we will get yard signs to them. We challenge everybody to look beyond the party labels. Again, if you see everything as left or right, I'm not your candidate. But if you see ideas, Amos, only as good or bad, I'm the guy.
John Gregg, he's the Democratic candidate for governor of Indiana. And I bet you he'll be back maybe one or two times before the November 6th election. Thanks very much for being with us. That's it for today.